Well, good morning. So we've been looking at the series of the Holy Spirit. And today is a bit of the hinge point. It's an important message as we go. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about the Old Testament, some of the prophetic hopes that we heard in the minor prophets, and also a pattern that formed, this pattern of the Spirit coming upon people for a need, an emergency. And there's a result of that Spirit coming upon. And this morning, we're going to look at Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And a lot of the information and what we know and what we can learn about the Holy Spirit comes from our Savior. When I first became a Christian, there was a lot of things I needed to learn. One thing that I needed to learn that I wasn't very good at was the art of the side hug. I had never done a side hug before, and in Bible college, we were discipled, and they're kind of teaching us to do a side hug. And I would always go in for a hug because it's just what I knew for 20 years, and then went, oh yeah, the side hug. And then it was really awkward. And so people, also the handshake, because I wasn't familiar with doing the handshake, because I really didn't handshake people. So I would go out, and then you're kind of doing the awkward thing, and then you might have the dead fish, and then you do the side hug, and it gets awkward. And I'm kind of recalibrating some things. Another thing that I learned was this thing of the Holy Spirit. I had never really heard of it before or it being explained to me. And my first experience with the Holy Spirit came about a month and a half into school. And what I want to do is I want to share two parts of the story. I want to begin with the first part of the story and end with the second part. So what we had is about a month and a half in, I just shared my testimony for the first time in my life. And there was a teaching from Malcolm Smith called The Search for Self-Worth. And they had actually been kind of just alluding to it, warning us of it, that it's a tough message. There's a lot of content. And on the Friday, so all week we're in class learning the search for self-worth. And then they had a time of prayer. And I remember sitting in this room full of people. We'd just done the teaching, and now they have some music playing, and we're getting prayer about worthlessness and feeling that you're worth something and that God loves us. And he wants to know us. He wants us. And as people I'm seeing are getting ministered to, I begin to find a corner, and I go into a fetal position. And I wasn't quite ready. And what I didn't know, but months later I found out, is there was kind of this notification that the staff at the church had, and that is, don't come behind Randy and touch him. Because what would happen is I would actually jump. I didn't like being touched. That's why the side hug or the hug was a little bit tough. I didn't want to be touched. And so here we are ministering, and I see people, and they're praying, and they're praying. And this woman, her name is Debbie. She's a mom. And she came up behind me, and she felt led to put her hand on my back. And I still, to this day, remember the day, the time when Debbie's hand was on my back. And I jumped. And I turned around and looked up, and it was Debbie. And she had tears in her eyes. And immediately my head sank. And I just remember silence. And as tears started to flow, Debbie didn't move her hand. It was a mom just holding her hand there, right on my back. She didn't pray, or at least I didn't hear it. She didn't say anything. She didn't have scripture. She just came and put her hand on my back, which felt like a long time. Put a flag in that story. We'll get back to it. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So a lot of what we've been talking about, is from the Old Testament, now we're moving to the New Testament. And so there's a couple of things that we learn. One is that he fulfills the Old Covenant. that Jesus Christ fulfilled the old covenant. Fulfilled it by his sacrifice on the cross, by being born with the Holy Spirit, which we'll get into. But Jesus fulfills each aspect of a prophetic hope for this new era, this era that we've been talking about. The prophetic hope in Elijah, which we talked about, or of the Spirit of God coming upon his people. And Jesus comes and he fulfills that old covenant for a new covenant. And there's a review of that old covenant, that Old Testament prophetic hope, that the Spirit will fall upon God's people in power for actions and for prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord will be within the human heart so that we may know God and his law. There will be a community filled with the Holy Spirit. And there will come a Spirit-empowered Messiah, the guy who we're talking about, who will fulfill these hopes and establish his kingdom, which will reign on this earth. So he brings a new era of the Holy Spirit. And we see that there's two distinctions of this. There's a distinction of the Spirit within and the Spirit coming upon. That first distinction, the Spirit within. And we see in Scripture that Jesus Christ was born with the Spirit within. And in fact, if we look at Luke 1:35, the angel answered Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Jesus Christ was born by the Spirit. Spirit came upon Mary. He was born it within it. And he was conceived from the Holy Spirit. And like I talked about in Ezekiel 36, which he fulfills in that 36:26-27, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you, and I will put my Spirit in you." And when Jesus was born and he came, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that was fulfilled. That from conception, the Spirit of God, the Ruah, which we talked about last week, is within him. And this knowing that he has, it's this deep knowing on his heart. It's not this intellectual, "Hey, I know things." It's something that's ingrained inside that says, "I know beyond a shadow of a doubt who God is, who my Father is." There's a story in Luke 2 where they're in Jerusalem and Mary, Joseph, they come back and they go, "Where's my son? Where is my son?" They look for him for 3 days. And here's Jesus, he's in his Father's house. He's studying. And time after time, what we see is people spoke highly of Jesus Christ as a kid. As a young man, he's hanging out, asking questions, learning more about God. There's an understanding that he has. People are baffled by it. This guy knows who God is. This boy. I'm sure his parents weren't very pleased. "Where's our son? Oh, he's hanging out in the church." He's getting to know his dad. He had to be in his Father's house. So he fulfills Jeremiah 31, which says, "I will make a new covenant. I will put my law in their minds and write in their hearts. They will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord." And this promise, this new era, it's for everyone, for every single person. No matter where you come from or what you've been doing, it's a promise that they will all know me. And that knowing, it's this deep, "I know in my guts who God is. I know him. I know who he is." But, and here's the big but, up until this point, there had been no power ministry with Jesus Christ. There had been no miracles performed. There had been nothing. There had been, "Hey, I know who God is. I'm in the Father's house." People would speak highly of him. But it wasn't until Mark 1:10. as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending like a dove. See, in this moment, this hinge point moment, something changes. He goes from knowing and the Spirit being within to the Spirit coming upon. And what we learn and look to in Scripture is it's at this moment, this turn, this hinge point, where those miracles and that Spirit coming upon and that empowerment starts to take effect. And we see it throughout Scripture. Mark 1:11, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, who I love. With you I am well pleased." And we see numerous occasions in Scripture that after this baptism, after the Spirit comes upon, after the Spirit of God, the Ruach, comes upon Jesus Christ, the ministry begins. The power. Mark 1:12, the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness to overcome temptation. It immediately, the Spirit came upon, and I'm getting out of Dodge. 1:21, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. Mark 1:23, and immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And what we see is when he gets baptized, the Spirit comes upon Jesus Christ. And these miracles start happening. He casts out demons. He starts healing people. He's teaching and preaching the gospel by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The hinge point in Scripture. And this pattern continues to emerge. This pattern that we looked at last week in the Old Testament. That pattern being is that the Spirit of God, the Ruah, the Holy Spirit, would come upon a person for a need, and there would be a result, an action, an empowered action, speaking or seeing or knowing. And this pattern continues in the New Testament. And there are three offices in the Old Testament to fulfill, and they were prophet, priest, and king. We're going to look at these three really quickly. These three things in the Old Testament, offices that Jesus fulfilled. The first one, a prophet. And a prophet is tasked to speak God's word, to speak truth to his people. We see it in Scripture. When he preached in Mark 4:18 and 19 and throughout the Gospels, you see again and again him preaching and teaching the gospel. We see him. He sees things differently, deeply. He would know. He would look at somebody and know. He would know what's in their heart. What's in their heart and what's going on. We see John 4:17-18. And he interpreted the law. He interpreted the things of God. He interpreted for people who God was, what his word said. He was a prophet, an empowered prophet to speak truth, to speak God's word. He was a priest. A priest is served as a mediator between God and the people, and he offered sacrifices for sins of the people. So a priest is a mediator. Stands in the gap. And in Scripture, in the Old Testament, there were two types of sacrificial offerings. There is a blood offering and a thank offering. The blood offering, it had to be paid by blood. And we know the story. Jesus Christ fulfilled that offering. He fulfilled it with what he did on the cross. Hebrews 9 talks about that. And I will say, just caveat right here, there is a lot of Scripture. You can go online, it's dunamisinstitute.org, and I'll actually put it, it'll be on our social media pages if you want to know more of the resource that we're using. But there is a ton more that we're not getting to. And I would encourage you, there's actually movies you can watch. But man, there's It's very theological, scripture-based, and there's a lot that I'm not getting to today. There's so much of it, so I'd encourage you to go online. Then the thank offering, and we're going to get to the thank offering actually later today, that offering of the Lord's table and how God fulfilled that and how we celebrate in that. We're going to do that later. He healed and cleansed people, as we just talked about throughout Scripture. And he intercedes for us, as we see when he goes to the garden and God is interceding on our behalf, interceding about what's going on in our lives. And the last position, the office, was king. It's one who is entrusted the governance and protection of the people. And the king, which he is the King of Kings, is a call to obey, a call to follow. And he's calling us. Follow the King of Kings. He has authority over nature. A few months ago, we talked about this in Luke, when he calms the storms. He has command over nature. He's the king. Creation listens. He's called to be our king. But how did Jesus Christ really fulfill these offices? How did he fulfill them? Did the power come from the fact that he's divine? And here's the paradox of our faith, the paradox of he is both divine and human. He's both divine and human. And we point to this portion of Scripture, this very important piece of Scripture, John 14:12. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And we see here that what God's saying is that the things that he does, God can do through us. That spirit that empowers him, that spirit that empowered him to be a prophet, priest, and king, is the same spirit that empowers us today. Otherwise, this scripture wouldn't be true. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. He did miracles as a human being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:6-8. Who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. There's the paradox. Jesus Christ, both divine and human. And this pattern of Scripture that shows and points to this empowerment of the Holy Spirit that not only is within, but that comes upon. The Spirit that God has given to us. So how do we know the Holy Spirit is the source? And we see, as we said earlier in Luke 1:35, that at that baptism, it's when the Spirit came upon. Before that, there was no miracles. There was no power ministry. The hinge point. Jesus acknowledges that he can do nothing by himself. John 5:19. Jesus gave them the answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. So here's Jesus Christ, born by the Holy Spirit. Knows God deeply, the Spirit within him. Later on, baptized, the Spirit comes upon him. And immediately, throughout Scripture, God uses him. He does as the Father does. in that pattern of that Spirit coming upon for a need. There's an emergency. There's something happening. And the Holy Spirit, the Ruah, the Spirit of God, comes upon to empower for action, to empower for an encouraging word, to power. I want to go back to that story. So this mom comes up behind me and puts her hand on my back. It was the first time in years where I was able to begin to face some of the things that happened when I was a kid and a teenager. There was no words being said. There was a mom putting her hand on my back. This was in October, January 26, 2005. It's a day I'll never forget. Months had passed, and this sister of mine goes up to the front to do a teaching. And she begins to do the teaching on telling each other the truth. And then she sings a song. And I got to tell you, and she would say this too, she wasn't a singer. But she starts singing this song that she felt that the Lord said for her to sing. Now, I am sorry in advance, but I'm going to sing you the song. You all know it. You all know it. So please don't stumble on how bad of a singer I am, okay? The song that she sung. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. So she sings a song. And in that moment, something changed. There was a silence. There was about 35 young adults in the room. And weeping starts to break out. And all I feel is I need to get on the floor. So I just laid with my head down on the floor. And I started to cry. And then I felt a hand on my back. I didn't hear a voice. There wasn't some scripture being said. There wasn't this loud prayer. It was a hand on my back. And I immediately looked up, and there was no one there. And I remembered months before when this mom, with an act of obedience, put her hand on my back. And for hours I laid there. We all did, just hours, reflecting on that song. But God was up to something. I still remember the hand on my back. And it's not like I heard this loud voice. But here's what happened. Since that day, people can touch me on the back. My brothers and sisters would come up to me and smack me on the back, and it was okay. My wife, she massages my neck all the time. Sorry for telling that. Yeah. Oh. But she does. I don't jump. I hugged a lot of you this morning. God broke through. January 26, 2005, I experienced God. I tangibly felt God. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the same power that was in Jesus Christ to perform miracles, to speak truth, to preach the gospel, to comfort, to protect, to renew, the same spirit that's in him is in us. The same spirit that he had access to, that came upon him, that pattern of a need, we have. And that old covenant fulfilled that new covenant in place. That the Spirit of God, the power, the purpose that's in him, the divine human paradox Savior who shed blood on that cross, that same power in us. Are we worthy? No, we're not worthy. Did we do something to earn it? No, we haven't. But God loved. But God poured out his love so that we can walk in the fulfillment of what he's done, of who he is. To say, you, son, you, daughter, love you. I want to use you. I want to use you to be a blessing. I want to use you to protect. I want to use you. Come to me. That same power, that same spirit, that same Ruah. In us and through us and upon us, God can use us for his mission, for his kingdom. Let's pray. God, you love us. You love us so much. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that we have the opportunity to know you, to experience you, to be used by you, to hold those offices of prophet, priest, and king, to be a part of the advancement of your kingdom, to bless, to serve, to empower and encourage. God, would you use us? Would you speak to us? Holy Spirit, come, encourage and empower. We love you, God. You are awesome and you are holy. And we thank you that we can be in your presence. We pray this all in your wonderful, glorious name. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand as the team comes up and we sing a song together.